This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Monday. We'll talk some hoops. Jay Billis on loan from the mothership will stop by. You can be part of our celebrity bracket challenge. It's powered by NetSuite, and it's live right now. FoxSportsRadio.com. Stat of the day is always brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. First hour, we talked a lot about the Bears sending Justin Fields to the Steelers. I pointed out that Justin Fields has better MVP odds than Russell Wilson does. By far. Russ's chances for an MVP plus 12,000. Justin Fields is plus 5,000, the same as the quarterback who the Bears are probably taking, Caleb Williams. All right, so Jay will join us. We'll check in with the Steelers coming up in an hour from now. What's the poll question for hour two, Seton?
Well, I'm trying to find the right words for this one because right now one of the big storylines coming out of Sunday is that the tournament seeding is getting a lot of criticism.
Yes.
So would you rather have the seeding priority be essentially ranking the teams best to worst? Or would you rather them play with it a bit for the best matchups along the way?
I like the best matchups.
Even if it means, say, if you're Iowa State, you kind of got screwed.
Well, if they're going to have them as the number one seed, that's different than we're going to manipulate. I think Texas A&M plays Nebraska in both the men's and women's tournament. Now, keep this in mind. Nebraska's athletic director just left. What school do you think he went to? Texas A&M. Trev Alberts, former college player at Nebraska, played a little bit in the NFL. He was the athletic director at Nebraska. Now he's going to Texas A&M. Texas A&M and Nebraska in the men's and women's tournaments are playing one another. But Iowa State, I thought Iowa State did enough to be a number one seed. That was a little bit surprising. Yeah, Paul?
I know we've had people on before who work for the committee who said that one of their rationales in setting up the tournament is matchups that people talk about in storylines. You asked one of the people years ago, and you've talked about this, when Bob Knight went to Texas Tech, they made sure that there was a chance that Texas Tech would face Indiana in round two of the NCAA tournament. So that was not a blind draw. That's a matchup draw.
Yeah. Yeah. I think manipulating the seeds, though, I have a problem with that. If Iowa State earned it, then put Iowa State in there as one of the number one seeds. But as far as, hey, here's potential matchups here, we're going to do that. I believe the women's bracket, they want LSU and Iowa to play, and they're going to be on a collision course. They're in the same bracket. I was surprised at that. I thought maybe you could wait until maybe the Elite Eight, maybe a Final Four. But I would have had Iowa face USC because I love the Juju Watkins is the next star in women's college basketball. She already is a star. But that would have been fun to have the outgoing scoring champ with Juju Watkins coming in at USC. But I also want to see LSU and South Carolina. No love lost there. And then I'd like to see either Iowa against LSU, Iowa against South Carolina. Those are kind of fun matchups there. Also, the NIT. The NIT used to be the tournament. That's a long time ago. It was in the 60s, 50s and 60s. It was certainly the tournament to be in. Then the NCAA came in, and then March Madness happened. It exploded, and the NIT struggled to survive. And I always thought if we didn't make the tournament, one of the 68 best teams, and I wanted to already get a head start for next year, then I would play in the NIT because it allows us to continue to practice. We're going to play games. Maybe we get a chance to play for a championship. Okay, it's not the NCAA, and it's the NIT. Well, Tom Crean, former coach, now an analyst for the mothership, had this to say about the schools that don't want to play in the NIT.
There's no question about it. I would want to coach. I would want to develop my team. You've got bigger staffs than you've ever had. There's plenty of time for the portal. There's plenty of time to talk to recruits. There's plenty of time to negotiate NIL deals. There's not plenty of time for guys to continue to play that may never get to play again. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is absolutely ridiculous. It's each coach's choice. I get it. But if you take away a chance to play the games, to put your team on the floor, let them opt out. All right, the bowl season has it all the time. Let it happen. Who cares? Give your players and coaches a chance to keep coaching and playing, wow, and don't shortchange. If a guy doesn't want to play, go sit down. If a coach doesn't want to coach, go recruit. But there's got to be enough people to put five, six, seven people on the floor and go play. Makes absolutely zero sense to me.
All right, that's Tom Crean, former head coach, and certainly passionate about this. So far, I think there's seven schools that have turned the opportunity down. Pittsburgh is one. St. John's is one. You also have Memphis, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Indiana, Syracuse. They already said they weren't going to play in the NIT. We have players who don't want to play in bowl games. This is almost that version of it that, hey, we don't want to play in this game. It's not important enough. But I always thought, if I'm a coach and I can get playing time for some of my kids who are going to be playing for me next year, then why not take advantage of that? And you're going to have, this is the feeling I got, that some of these coaches may be covered for their players because the players didn't want to play. You know, Rick Pitino, he talked about not playing in the NIT. And I think he was trying to cover up for his players because it felt Rick would coach right now. He'd go out in, you know, our field house here. He'd coach a 3-on-3 game. He'd coach anywhere. Hey, coach, we got the championship game of the AUAA. Yeah, I'll be there. What time? He loves to coach. You got a chance to play in the Garden? You're St. John's? You're still building that program? Rick would want to coach. He would. And his players maybe didn't want to. And sometimes you have to listen to them. But I would try to use that. You get more practice time. Maybe you get a player or two who's going to be a star for you, potential star, and you get a chance to have a bigger, better opportunity there. Yeah, Mark.
Do you think for some of those programs, it's program entitlement? Like, where's Syracuse? We're too good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Didn't Notre Dame turn down the Pinstripe Bowl a couple of years ago? They're like, nah. North Carolina turned down the NIT, I think, a couple of years ago. Syracuse, St. John's, Pittsburgh, they're like, no, we should be in the tournament. And I think that's the hard part to get over. But they all had their chances. Seton Hall had their chance. St. John's had a chance. Pittsburgh had a chance. They all had a chance to be able to play. It's 68 schools. You didn't make it? All right. You can still play. Hey, do you want to still play basketball? That's what is the surprising part of this. And it's maybe, you know, the kids say, no, we don't want to play anymore. Okay. But it feels like Rick Pitino was saying, hey, you know what? We're going to get ready for next season. Okay. Getting ready for next season would be, we can still practice. Because now they can't. Now their season's over. Yes, Todd.
What are you arrogant and too good about? You know, maybe yesteryear, but you didn't make the tournament. So you're obviously not too good. You didn't make the tournament. And I think it's a no-lose proposition, other than the fact that it looks arrogant to turn down the NIT. If you play well and you destroy everybody, then you're proving to everybody you played with a chip on your shoulder, we should have been in the tournament. If you lose, then that proves even more that you didn't belong in the NCAA tournament if you bow out of the NIT.
Yeah, whatever. But we see teams, college football teams, when they play in bowl games, and they're not really into it, and then they lose. I can't say, well, that shows that they weren't that good. I mean, you have to want to play. Like, you truly want to play and want to win a championship. It's the NIT. You're playing in New York, Madison Square Garden eventually. That has value to it. And another case, you know, opportunity to showcase your talents if you want to play in the NBA. Yes, Eden.
What if the NIT winner was guaranteed a spot next year in the tournament, in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah. I don't think the NCAA cares about the NIT. I don't, you know, because they kind of coexist, but the NCAA is really trying to put the NIT out of business. I mean, if they go to 96 teams, they're really saying, NIT, thanks for the memories. Yeah, Paul.
Rick Pitino added that one of the reasons they passed on the NIT bid is to focus on the transfer portal because the season is over for them, and because they need 7 or 8 new players for next season, and they have to get to work on recruiting and hitting the portal.
Okay.
Those guys would want to play in the NIT because they're about to be jettisoned.
We say good morning if you're watching on Peacock, our streaming partner, our radio affiliates around the country. A poll question for hour two, Seton.
Yeah, I'm going to put up the one about seeding. Would you rather have it based on like resume or matchups?
All right. Yes, Marvin.
Yeah, and they should probably blame schools like NC State, who weren't even bubble teams. They were going to the NIT, and they ended up winning their conference championship, so that definitely hurt a lot of the bubble teams.
There were probably 3 or 4 conference champions that really messed things up for a couple of schools. Yes, Eaton.
All right. This is probably a really dumb question, but I ask those a lot. But aren't the NIT and the NCAA tournament all run by the same people? I mean, they're both NCAA tournaments.
Yes. But the NCAA really cares about March Madness because they can make a lot of money.
I'm just saying, I mean, it wouldn't be that much of a stretch to get them to, like, hey, what if we tried to figure this out together? And instead of adding going to 96 teams, we just make the NIT a little more valuable or something.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Easy with a thoughtful analysis.
Yes.
Easy.
Sorry, you're right. It makes way more sense.
Easy with the measured
commentary. I'm sure they are battling it out with each other to, like, bankrupt the next
Easy with the measured commentary.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah. All right, let me get some phone calls in here. Jay Billis will join us coming up. Let me see. Joey in Minnesota. Hi, Joey. What's on your mind today?
Hey, back again this Monday. Dan, happy to be here. Tyler hooked me up. Drove my daughter to the parade this weekend, got to meet all you boys, get some photos, and just had a blast. I got a couple bests. Besides that, Scottie Scheffler, man, this guy is out of this world. He's won $10 million already this year. I'd love for you guys to do a career salary so we can squeeze one of those in. That's pretty much all I got. I missed Marvin this weekend. I did not miss Todd.
No, okay. I saw Joey. He was outside the baseball park as we ended the parade there. Scottie Scheffler, since January 1st of 2022, 51 tournaments, 9 wins, 34 top 10s, 22 top 3s. He's earned $46 million. And over those 51 starts, he's 540 under par. Start of the day. By the way, Rory McIlroy can take a little bit of credit for Scottie Scheffler because he turned him on to this mallet putter that he's been using, and he has been crushing. He made 9 straight one putts, went 16 of 16 on putts inside 15 feet. And he goes back-to-back, Arnold Palmer in the Players' Championship. All righty, Rocky in New Mexico. Hi, Rock. What's on your mind today?
How you doing, DP?
Great.
All right, first time, long time. 5'8", 2 hundo, and a hand size of 6.5.
All right.
And so, Dan, I sadly wanted to talk about your retirement.
Mm.
You know, we all understand. Yeah, we all understand that you're gonna be done in 3 to 4 years. You're going to hang it up. Now, I wanted to make a suggestion to you guys. I think what you guys should do when you leave, Dan, is create a spinoff show. Now, think about it. That's never been done before. If you guys can get Ross Tucker to carry the torch, the intro to the new show can be like from the creators of the Dan Patrick Show. Ross Tucker and the Danettes or something like that.
Okay.
You know, let me know what you guys think.
All right. Well, thank you, Rocky. Rocky looking out for you guys. Do you think you guys could work with Ross Tucker every single day?
100%.
You do?
Yeah.
Todd, do you think you could?
I love Ross. Absolutely.
Okay. Marvin?
Of course.
Okay. Paul?
He is easy to work with.
Okay.
Yeah. He's great. Yeah. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Is this like Tyler Perry Presents?
Oh, okay. I like that.
Under the same umbrella.
Madea.
Yeah, Madea goes to war. Madea goes to the movies. Madea Halloween.
Yeah. Yes, Marvin.
So Dan Patrick's Ross Tucker Show, that's what it's going to be called?
Yeah.
Or a Dan Patrick joint, like Spike Lee? Patrick joint?
Okay. Jim in South Carolina. Hi, Jim. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan. How are you today?
Great, Jim.
All right. Well, I got a best and the worst for you.
Hey.
Well, I'll start with the worst. That was North Carolina blowing the ACC title by losing to rival NC State. However, the best was that they...
Jim, are you at work?
Yeah.
Okay. You guys want to guess where Jim works? Paulie?
I'm guessing he's in the plumbing industry.
Okay. Todd?
Yeah, it did have a flushing kind of sound.
Okay.
It did sound like a toilet to me.
Yes,
however,
it did. Yeah.
I think it was actually a car going by.
Car going by. All right. Marvin, what's Jim do for a living?
He's an electrician.
Electrician. Okay. Jim?
I'm a truck driver. I'm actually in my truck.
Oh.
But I'm having to use my Bluetooth.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway. Well, my best of the weekend is North Carolina rebounding from last year's debacle. And not only making the tournament, but being a number one seed, which I'm not sure has ever been done before. Maybe Paulie would like to research that, and that would be a semi-stat of the day.
Okay. What are we researching?
I think he said North Carolina not making the tournament, then being a number one seed the next season, I think.
Okay. Yeah, that... pretty amazing, the disaster last year to where they are this year. Yes, yes, Tom.
Sneaky truck driver with the semi stat of the day.
Okay. So he did there, bloop.
Job I had on that. I don't think he realized it.
Semi stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards. Dan Patrick Show. Jim, good call by you, Todd.
Nailed it.
Jim in California. How can I help you, Jim?
Thanks for taking my call. I'm in Playa del Rey, first time, long time, 6'1", 200, 9.5 inches, San Diego State. I have a stat of the day. March 18th, 1968, Wilt Chamberlain recorded the first and only unofficial quintuple double. He had 53 points, 32 rebounds, 14 assists, 24 blocks, and 11 steals.
All right, Jim. Thank you. Was that a quadruple or a quintuple? Tuple that he was talking about. Double. Todd, did you pick up on that too?
He said quintuple. Yeah.
Quintuple. So the music got him there. He ran out of time. Maybe we'll research that. What is it? March 8th, 1968 with Wilt Chamberlain? March 18th, is that what it was, Marv? Okay. So today. By the way, I think I celebrated St. Paddy's Day Friday and Saturday and Sunday. I didn't realize that Sunday was St. Paddy's Day until I walked by a pub and all of a sudden I got friends in there and they're like, well, come on in. I go, what are you guys doing? I go, it's St. Paddy's Day. I go, oh.
Man, my liver's already so sore.
I already went to Minneapolis, St. Paul. I already celebrated Friday and Saturday. By the way, when you go out with guys who drink for a living, keeper's heart, they're good at what they do.
Are veterans.
Yes, they are. That's why Dylan had a great time, because he's he could work for a liquor company. All right, let me take a break. Jay Billis will join us coming up next. More phone calls as well. We'll check in with the Pittsburgh Steelers in an hour from now. Back after this, Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Pauly Fusco here with Tony Fusco.
Yo.
You know, as the host of the number one rated Pauly and Tony Fusco show, we get tons and tons of fan mail every day.
Piles of it.
In fact, Tony, why don't you open up one of those letters right now and read what's inside?
Yeah, listen to this. Dear Pauly and Tony, your sports takes are the dumbest and most terrible.
Wait, not that
wait,
one.
Wait,
open this other one.
Dear Pauly and Tony, you suck more than anyone.
Not that one.
Wait.
Try this one.
Dear Pauly and Tony, you guys are the absolute best.
There you go.
Coming up with the stupidest takes
possible.
You know
what? Possible. Just forget what those clowns say. Just listen to the Pauly and Tony Fusco show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
You've probably put this off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has the tires that will elevate your game. Touring tires for commuting comfort. How about performance tires for sporty handling? All terrain if you're going on and off-road adventuring. Go to TireRack.com and get started. You're not sure where to begin? I suggest the easy-to-use tire decision guide. Get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Toyo tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They bring the tires to your home or office and install them on site. Go to TireRack.com/Dan. You'll see the Toyo test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite, and you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick. We had a caller who told us on March 18th, 1968, Wilt Chamberlain recorded a quintuple double. 53 points, 32 rebounds, 14 assists, 24 blocks, 11 steals. He's believed to be the only player to have ever achieved the elusive quintuple double. Why is it that we value and honor Babe Ruth stats, but not Wilt Chamberlain's? It just feels like, yeah, but that was Wilt. Whereas Babe Ruth, we're like, man, he won nearly 100 games pitching and hit 714. Wilt, it just feels like, yeah, that wasn't real. But imagine 24 blocks in a game. I don't know when they started with keeping stats. Like, steals, I think, was in the early 80s. I don't know about blocks. But it's kind of like
sacks in the NFL. I don't know how many block shots Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain actually had, but we're watching Victor Wembanyama. I think he had 7 blocks in the game yesterday. Yes, Pauling.
Block shots became an official NBA stat for the 73-74 season, the first year Wilt Chamberlain was out of basketball.
Coincidence? He was a defensive-minded guy back then, later in his career with the Lakers. Jay Billis, ESPN college basketball analyst. He was on the call for NC State, the ACC conference title game over North Carolina. He joins us on the program. How many career blocks do you think you had at Duke?
Me blocking somebody else's shot or my shot getting blocked?
Well,
my shot getting blocked. I promise you I set a record.
Well, you were an undersized center, though.
Yeah, undersized, under-athletic, under everything.
Were you underestimated, though?
Yeah, probably.
Well, look,
I underestimated myself.
What do you have, Paulie?
In 4 years at Duke, I have Jay Billis with 37 career blocks.
Wow. They didn't keep the stat of how many times his shot was blocked.
No, I'm looking for that.
Okay. Right.
It was more than that.
Yeah.
It was more than that. But I was a position defender, Dan.
Of course you were.
I was like the cover corner they didn't throw towards, so I didn't have to block a lot of shots.
Okay. You were like a Darrell Revis. Nobody was going in your direction.
No question. I mean, I got my work done early, as they say.
Billis Island there. All right. So when you first saw the bracket, the first thing that jumped out was what?
That UConn had a really difficult bracket, and there are a ton of conference champions in their bracket. I still think they're the best team, and they'll come out of there. And I thought Purdue had the easiest route for a number one seed. It's set up pretty well for them to get out of there, but it's not like they don't have challenges. Everybody has challenges, but they're not facing a team that can up-tempo them and turn them over, which I think is one of the problems that they may face.
Felt like the reaction was the seeding, that certain schools, conferences, that may be too high, too low. Your thoughts on any objections there?
Yeah, I think there were a few seeding issues, but some of it had to do with, I'm sure, their bracketing principles. I mean, I kind of think, Dan, when they say, well, you know, the UConn region, the East region, UConn chose to be in that region, and then we put everybody else in there based upon geography, the closest teams to that. And, you know, the first thing I think of is, wait a minute, USC and UCLA are in the Big Ten now. They got to fly to Rutgers for a regular season game, and you're worried about geography for an NCAA tournament game? You know, that doesn't make any sense to me. I think you seed it according to the best teams, and you balance it as well as you can. You don't want to be insensitive to travel. You don't want to send, you know, somebody out cross country for no reason when they're the same as somebody else. But I tend to think just do it on a strict S curve and put them in the bracket and let's play. This is for the national championship, not to be, you know, so that some fans have a bus trip.
Any issue with setting up matchups? You know, I always think of Texas Tech and Indiana when Bob Knight was at Texas Tech, like the potential for an interesting matchup. Any issues with the committee doing that?
They say that they don't do it. I have a hard time believing that. There are way too many coincidences that occur. There's nothing they can do about, you know, if Rick Barnes is going to meet up with Texas in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight. Yeah, you can't deal with that. But when they're on a collision course in the second round, or, you know, things come up in the first round, you know, they had a choice there.
How many teams can realistically win it all?
You know, I haven't really done that sort of thing this year because it was such a weird year. Usually it's around 8, and I after looking at it, I think it's about that. You know, if somebody else could sneak in there. There's a difference, Dan, I think, in getting to a Final Four and winning a national championship. You know, when you get put into a region, whether it's East or Midwest, whatever, 75% of the best teams in the tournament are not in your region. So if somebody falls down in your way, a lot of things can happen. But once you get to the Final Four, you know, you're playing higher seeded, really good teams most of the time. And that's why we most often see the highest seeded teams win these things.
Has Danny Hurley become the face of college basketball, men's college basketball?
He's getting there. He's the real deal. He's really an outstanding coach, and he's fun. Like, he's, he's kind of old school in how tough he is and demanding in practice and with his team. But then he's a normal Joe off the court, and he's got these bizarre superstitions that are bordering on needing therapy. You know, like the underwear and socks, and you know, wearing the hat that he wore last year before the first round, stuff like that. And my favorite one was I don't know what they call these things. It's like these you're suspended in some kind of liquid, I think, and they close the. It's almost like a coffin, you know, you're in there. What do they call it? Sensory deprivation?
Yeah.
And he went in one of those things, and he thought it was going to be for an hour, and his staff had made the appointment for 2 hours. So after an hour, he thought he was trapped in there. And that would have been a good one to see Danny Hurley trying to fight his way out of that thing, thinking he was trapped.
He's Jay Billis, ESPN College basketball analyst. We just noticed that the transfer portal is open in college basketball. Why now? Why are they opening it while the tournament's going?
Yeah, it's just sort of their timing for the way some of these school calendars work, the way I understand it. Look, the transfer portal overall is, I think, a good idea, but they could certainly regulate it better and have the dates work out a little better. I mean, I think you'll hear most coaches say that as soon as the season ends, they're busier than they were during the season because of the transfer portal. They're having to sift through and call a million people and evaluate players and all that stuff, because that's become the new recruiting model. And it's impacted their high school recruiting. You're not seeing high school recruits valued as highly as they were 5 years ago. But that's just the nature of the business now. The NCAA put the rule in, and they're having to live with it.
Should we cap the number of years you can be eligible to play college basketball?
Well, they do. It's basically you have 4 years, but they do make exceptions when you have like a catastrophic injury or illness or something like that. And then we've had over the last several years this extra COVID year. So you're seeing that's really the difference in seeing guys come back. I don't think you would have seen as many players stay and play if the COVID year and NIL didn't overlap. Like, there are a number of players going, why shouldn't I come back? I'm making a lot of money. And if I go into the NBA process, you know, maybe they put me in the G League or I have to go overseas or something like that. It may be better for them to go ahead and stay. So the NIL, we've seen retention of players, which I can't imagine isn't a good thing for the NCAA. They get another year of service out of the players, even longer than that in some cases. And the players are getting more education, which they say they're about. So how could anybody complain about that?
Trying to figure out Zach Edey, that being the biggest big man in the tournament, but it's still about guard play. How do you assess? I mean, normally that'd be the guy where you go, they got the big man. But I don't know, is it that much of a bonus for Purdue over everybody else?
Well, I think you could have said that back in the day when big guys were more a focal point of the game. You know, Ralph Sampson played 4 years at Virginia, never won a title because the guys around him didn't hit shots when they needed to. And Joe Barry Carroll was a great big guy at Purdue. We can go on and on about it. Now UCLA won with big guys. Other teams won with big guys. It doesn't mean you can't win with it. But the game's changed, as you know, and you don't see many guys 7'4". And that dominant. But Purdue has had a couple problems in the last few years. Their guards last year were freshmen, and they weren't the most athletic team around Edey. Edey was dominant against Fairleigh Dickinson, but his teammates just didn't make shots. I don't think they're going to be subject to the same kind of upset this year, but they could get beat. There's no question that somebody could clip them, and they could very well play Tennessee again. They played earlier this year. And Purdue won in Maui, but I still think Purdue is a prohibitive favorite to come out of that region.
You've got some schools, some big name schools that are not going to compete in the NIT. St. John's and Pitt and Syracuse. I always thought that would help you for the following year, get some of your younger players. They get an opportunity, and I don't know if these kids are just saying, "Look, we don't want to play in the NIT." Your thoughts on some of these coaches having to come out and say, look, we're preparing, you know, Rick Pitino, we're preparing for next year?
I don't know, Dan. I mean, I know going to the NIT is a real downer, and some teams go in it and they want to prove that if they, you know, they win the NIT, like they're, it's going to be a big middle finger to the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee. And the truth is the selection committee doesn't care. I mean, they care about the process, but they don't care if you win the NIT. And there are some teams that go in the NIT, they're disappointed. It's the end of the year and they go in and lay an egg and it wasn't worth the effort. So it just kind of depends how the, I think how the players feel. And, you know, I kind of like that. If the players are being taken into consideration, you know, I kind of like that they're being listened to. Like, why go through all that? If you really don't want to play in it. And look, I mean, when was the last time you remembered who won the NIT? I don't remember. I don't watch it. I shouldn't say that because it's on our network, but I don't watch it. I'm focused on something else. It's like these bowl games. You know, like, I don't care who plays in the Poland Weed Eater Bowl. Maybe I bet on it with a friend of mine because there was nothing else to do, but I'm not watching.
If I gave you an all-time Final Four, what would come to mind?
All-time Final, as far as the best one?
Yeah.
17 was great when Villanova beat North Carolina. I wind up thinking about moments more than anything. Like, it's funny, Dan, like, I don't really know what makes a great tournament. Like, some tournaments where the play is off the charts good, but we don't have as many little guys winning, or there aren't as many buzzer beaters. People say, well, this has been a blah tournament. I think people kind of expect that it's going to be crazy. And if it's not crazy, then it's not that entertaining. But then you get to the Final Four, and if you don't have recognizable names, then people don't care for it either. So I'm not sure what's great. I just love seeing great teams play, and we get that just about every year. So I can't remember a bad year for the tournament. There was one year where Connecticut played Butler. I think it was 2011. Played Butler in the final. It was probably the worst played final game ever. But nobody really seems to remember that. They just remember who wins.
Yeah, I say this every year, that we love the chaos, and then we get to the Elite Eight Final Four, and then we want the Blue Bloods. Like, okay, that was nice. And if you do have the novelty or the Cinderella, then you want to see them go all the way and win it. Then it becomes a great story. But it'll probably be the same this year, where there'll be upsets, and it's crazy and madness, and then all of a sudden you're going to have four Blue Bloods. Do you have a Cinderella team to keep an eye on?
There are a few. I think Drake is one. I think New Mexico and Nevada are both very good teams. James Madison has a chance to pull an upset over Wisconsin. James Madison, I think they've only lost three times and beat Michigan State at Michigan State in November. But it's funny, Dan, because of all the upsets in the smaller conferences, the 12 through 16 seeds aren't quite as powerful as they've been in other years. Maybe powerful is the wrong word, but the metrics say that they're not as big of a threat. That doesn't mean individual teams. Like Drake out of the Missouri Valley Conference, they have Tucker DeVries, who averages about 22 a game. He's not quite as good as Doug McDermott was at Creighton, but he's pretty damn good. And they can beat somebody. They're capable. McNeese State is, I'm not sure whether they're McNeese and now or McNeese State, but they're playing Gonzaga in the first round. And Gonzaga is still very good. They're not as good as they were the last couple of years, but McNeese can force a lot of turnovers. And they've got a player named Shahade Wells who can really take the ball from you. So they could be a threat. But I'm not sure I'm seeing that many teams. But I didn't see St. Peter's ripping off all the games they won either. You know, you just don't see – you don't think of a 15 seed. And even when you've watched them play, because sometimes they catch fire. Like NC State in the ACC tournament, I wouldn't have given you a nickel for their chances to win four games, let alone five. And it was one of the most amazing things I have ever seen. And the most interesting thing for me in the first couple of days of the tournament are going to be, is there any gas left in the tank for NC State after that? Because they're not only like banged up and injured, but I just can't imagine how emotionally drained. And then the NCAA gives them a Thursday game. They can't even give them a Friday game.
I had Stephen A. Smith on last hour, and I said, who's the best shooter at ESPN, taking away the NBA guys? And Stephen A. said he's the best shooter in the building. I will give you the opportunity to answer that.
You know, I am always interested in what 60-year-old men are good at, because, you know, it's so like edifying for me to think that all of us are still really good at something. Like, who cares? We're done, man. I just want to make sure I can get out of this chair as soon as the interview's over without falling down and hurting myself. So I'm not putting myself in any of these contests. I don't even play pickleball. I'm going to get injured playing pickleball. I want no part. If that's going to affect my golf schedule, I'm not playing pickleball. I don't care.
So you don't care if Stephen A. is a better shooter than you?
No. Why would I care about that? What I would care is if we're playing golf and there's money on the line, then I'd want to know how good he is.
Oh, okay.
But he'd be the great guy to play against, because he would go, I am a plus four. That'd be fantastic.
Good to talk to you. We'll talk to you during the tournament. Thanks as always, Jay.
Great to be with you, brother. Thank you.
That's Jay Billis, ESPN college basketball analyst. He was on the call for NC State against North Carolina, and a big surprise there. That certainly was. All right, we'll take a break. Got some phone calls coming up right after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up, and you say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
You've probably put this off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has the tires that will elevate your game. Touring tires for commuting comfort. How about performance tires for sporty handling? All terrain if you're going on and off-road adventuring. Go to TireRack.com and get started. You're not sure where to begin? I suggest the easy-to-use tire decision guide. Get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Continental tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They bring the tires to your home or office and install them on site. Go to TireRack.com/Dan, see their Continental test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to keep an eye out for the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. The truly brilliant all-electric EQE SUV from Mercedes-Benz features some of the smartest tech ever to grace four wheels. With Dynamic Select, you can fine-tune hundreds of vehicle settings to precisely match your driving style. And available in off-road mode, transparent hood lets you see through the sheet metal to steer clear of bumps and potholes directly beneath you. How about that? A 360 array of cameras and sensors constantly alerting you for danger, while 64-color ambient lighting lets you fully customize the ambiance inside the spacious cabin. The EQE SUV is so smart, even the headlights are thinking. Optional digital light technology projects navigation markings and warnings on the road ahead as you drive. The vehicle's all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Test drive the EQE SUV. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQE-SUV. Moonshine Madness, available at danpatrick.com. If you didn't get in on moonshine at any point during this past year, now you have a chance, as we have some extra bottles that are available there. And every person who purchases a tailgate moonshine order gets 50% off their next order at the merch store at danpatrick.com. All right, time for our best and worst of the weekend. Todd, I'll start with you.
Best and worst of the weekend. For best, North Carolina State taking down the Tar Heels Saturday night in the ACC Conference Final. 5 wins in 5 nights. Their first conference championship in 37 years. Good job by them going on that run. Worst, also on Saturday, the one-seed Houston getting humiliated in the Big 12 title game by the 7-seed Iowa State. They were down by as much as 30, lost by 28. 69 for the Cyclones, 41 for the Cougs.
Seton O'Connor.
My worst of the weekend, Seton Hall got screwed. They should have been in the tournament. My best of the weekend, the stakes that we had in Minneapolis Saturday night.
Yeah, it was a place called Manny's.
At Manny's?
Yes.
That's a hell of a place. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
they do. Did you have a worst of the weekend?
Yes, I'd be happy to repeat it. My worst of the weekend, Seton Hall got screwed.
Oh, that's right.
They should have been in the tournament.
Yeah. Marvin, how about you?
Best of the weekend is Temple taking probably Seton Hall's spot in the tournament. They won the AAC tournament.
Wait, that's your best?
Yeah, because it's madness.
Okay, rude.
Okay.
I'm sorry, guys.
Seton's right behind you.
Oh, Seton, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's all love, though. All
right. Not really.
Okay. All right. That's my best of the weekend. Yeah. Worst of the weekend, Julius Rollins from Kent State. Kent State goes up by 1 with 5 seconds left. Julius Rollins intentionally fouls.
He didn't know the score.
Right. He lost count. Time and score, he did not know it. And he fouled the Akron player. Akron player hits 2 free throws. Kent State loses the MAC championship, and they're out.
Yeah, his coach was like, he's holding his head like, what are you doing? What'd you just do? Paulie, best and worst.
I'm sure he's glad to get the shout out by Marvin on national radio and TV, too. Very thoughtful. Best of the weekend. This is a sneaky one. Dodgers Shohei Ohtani could play in the field this season. Dave Roberts of the LA Dodgers gave an update on Ohtani. He's going to start a light throwing program as he ramps up. He's not going to pitch this year, but that might allow him even to play in the outfield at certain points. Mm. But there's been a lot of good news about his arm health and his possibility of pitching again. And I wonder if there's going to be, based off Ohtani and this doctor out there, maybe in 3 or 4 years, Tommy John surgery is not a year. It's 4 months. I remember, Dan, when we were younger, ACL surgery meant maybe your career was over for a Gale Sayers.
Yeah.
But then an Adrian Peterson a year later is rushing for 2,000 yards. I just think that maybe 5 years from now, Tommy John surgery is a setback.
Yeah, but the same doctor who operated on Aaron Rodgers operated on Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, and maybe Achilles could be 6 months instead of a year.
Yeah.
My worst of the weekend, this is a toughie, the Women's College Basketball Tournament. Now, when you're putting together Iowa and LSU, which you want to see play again, they put them in the same regional, which means it's likely that Iowa and LSU will face each other in the NCAA tournament in the Elite Eight, which is nice. And it's probably the smart thing to ensure they play each other. But the entire country wanted to see LSU and Iowa in a rematch in the Final Four or the final game. They didn't want to take the risk. And I think the downside is worse. Either LSU or Iowa will not make the Final Four this year.
Yeah.
And that is, I think, a big mistake by the seeding committee.
You can thank me later, but the first pitch thrown out in the Dodgers game in South Korea, the person throwing out the first pitch almost looks like it's AI, like it's the person's not real. But she is real. She's an actress in South Korea. But I just know that every Dodger player was interested in this actress throwing out the first
pitch. Very engaged.
Very, very engaged. I think everybody was looking to shoot their shot there with the actress.
Yes.
But she's an actress.
How was the pitch, though?
Who cares?
It's not getting a lot of coverage.
Who cares? Nobody. Yeah. Nobody was happier to hear that news than Todd when I came in today.
Yeah, she appears to be made of porcelain or some kind of material.
Yeah, she doesn't look real. But she's an actress, famous actress, I guess, in South Korea. Final results of the poll question for hour two, Seton O'Connor.
I'd be happy to give you that, Dan.
All right.
We've got up there, would you prefer the priority for tournament seeding be teams ranked best to worst or the best matchups? Right now, best to worst is winning with 83% of the vote.
Okay.
People would rather that over more interesting matchups.
Well, I think the more interesting matchups happen in the second round. Hey, if you win and they win, and then you're going to meet this team. That coach is going to coach against his former school. You know, a player who played at North Carolina, now maybe playing for Arizona. They might meet each other. Yes, Todd?
Like that Texas-Tennessee game, longtime Texas coach Rick Barnes. If Texas and Tennessee win their first game, they'll play each other in the round two. So that's fun.
Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
Hour two in the books. We'll check in with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They had a good weekend.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there. Put on your game face. Download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.